This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back. This is Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Matt, what do you have on the first story of the day?
Well, we have just heard that Apple has bought Shazam. Now, Shazam, for people who haven't used it, is a really nice little tool that allows you.
Shazam.
Yeah, I love Shazam. It allows you to identify music that's playing, whether it's on a TV or as you're walking around in a mall.
I use it in a club. Surprisingly, it works.
It works. I've always wanted to use it when people are like humming or singing a song, but that never seems to work. But
a bit sad on
but
that.
It's basically what you do is it listens to the song and it analyzes the waveform or the algorithm of the music. It sends it back to a database, matches it, and it tells you what the song is. So you can listen to it on one of your streaming services, or you can buy it, or you can just go, oh.
Yeah.
Which is the reaction to most of these things. But it's a really fun little app, and it's been around now for about 15 years. And the company came together because a group of friends wanted a piece of software that helped them identify songs that they heard in clubs. And it's kind of hard to remember now a time when you couldn't do that. When you heard a song and, you're just sitting there, I just wouldn't know what it was.
I remember a time when listening it on radio and I would try to remember words from the song
that
I could then try to do a search on
it. You could search it and try and get the lyrics and match the lyrics to the song title.
So hard,
Really, really hard, especially with a club track that doesn't have words. So you just go boom, boom, bap into Google.
Yeah.
Not really particularly helpful. Anyway, we've just learned that Apple has bought Shazam for $400 million.
I'm surprised in this. Well, I did not see this coming, but I can see why this is
coming. I can see why Apple has done it. But what's kind of interesting is that although it sounds like a huge amount of money, according to the latest round of funding from Shazam, the company should have been valued at about $1 billion, and that's what they were planning to float for. So I don't know whether this suggests that Shazam is in
some financial trouble.
Yeah, exactly, because they've sold out to Apple. Yes, it is a tremendous amount of money, but as we said, the company's been around for 15 or 16 years. They only actually moved into profit last year, and they only had a turnover, I think, of $54 million, which again, that's an awful, you know, if you have a turnover of $54 million, to then be valued at $400 million is also quite a reach. So I don't know whether this is a good story or a bad story, but, you know, it's a story.
It's a story, yeah, and it's a bit weird. And I guess we will probably now see Shazam being incorporated into Apple iTunes, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Spotify's got its Discover Weekly thingy, and I guess that's where...
Well, the thing is, currently Shazam has Spotify integration, so that's what I use it for. I imagine that's going to disappear over the next few months as we get pushed towards another high-value Apple service.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. And also, it's surprising to think that it's been around for 15 years now, Shazam, and only last year it started to make profit. And
it
doesn't charge you, so it's purely on ads.
Well, they sell you ads, but they also make revenues every time you go from the app into Spotify or iTunes Music or whatever, and you buy a song. They then make a small commission as well. So they have a trail from that. But I remember the early days of using Shazam and SoundHound back in the days of not very good 3G and whatever, and it was just, you know, you'd hold the phone up to the speaker, and your data connection was so slow that the song had always finished before it managed to send anything back to the server.
But it's
a fun little app.
Mm. Anyways, talking about like music and stuff, I recently did a bit of traveling. I did like a total of 37 hours to get back to KL, and in that 37 hours, my ears was bleeding. Because I'm using one of these like just normal standard Bluetooth headphones that is not meant for long distance traveling. I've been on this dilemma of buying a very expensive Bluetooth noise cancelling because I hate people screaming and talking and, you know, just saying rubbish stuff in a very confined space like an airplane. I just want to zone out everything.
You're actually the guy who sits there with the VR headset on.
Yes,
and
I would love
and
that.
And it's just showing a picture of a meadow and it's completely empty except for you, and it's playing bird song and cows are mooing in the background.
I would pay a lot of money for that kind of trip. But exactly. So in the sense that I just want to zone out from, you know, from people. I just want to have my alone time, my music time. And I'm torn between two brands, and I'm torn between actually two specific models. And one of it, I know you're a big fan, and one is this sort of like this unsung hero or this dark knight of headphones. So I'm talking about the Bose Quiet Comfort series, which is an excellent series of headphones. It's one of the best. I think the Quiet Comfort 25, which I've tried on, I think you have the Quiet Comfort 25 or
I've got the 20 and the 20. 15.
Yeah, so and I've tried the 25 from one of our producers in BFM here. And I absolutely love the Bose Quiet Comfort 25, and they've got the new one, the 35, with the attached Google Assistant, which I don't think I will ever use it, but it's the newer model that you would want to get anyways. Compare that with this new Dark Knight called the Sony 1000MX, the XM2. So the 1000, the Sony 1000 series is like, apparently from a lot of audiophiles that I've spoken to, have said that it is really good, if not better than the Bose Quiet Comfort 35. But I'm leaning towards the Quiet Comfort 35 from like the since the start of the year. But every store that I go to, man, every single store that I try to purchase the Bose Quiet Comfort 35, the sales assistant or whoever in the store is pushing me towards the Sony. And I'm like, why? Why is this happening? Like, it's been a year and I've not bought any headphones yet. Like, I haven't even tried the Sony 1000. I have no idea what's going on.
It's no argument for me. Ask me how many pairs of Bose headphones I have, Jeff.
How many pairs of Bose headphones do you have, Matt?
I have 12 pairs, Jeff.
What?
I have 12 pairs.
I'm very sure you could buy a car with the amount of headphones.
Very nearly. I am not endorsed by Bose, but if they would like to endorse me, it would save me an awful lot of money.
What is it about Bose that you just so obsess about them?
Because they're very, very comfortable. I like their in-ear headphones because they're open and they allow you to hear. They're similar to the Apple earbuds. You know, they sit in your ears and they allow you to hear. The only thing that the Bose ones are actually comfortable, which the Apple ones are not particularly. So they sit in, they don't block out the sound. In terms of, I've got quite a few of their Bluetooth ones, some in-ear, some around-ear, some on-ear. I find them some of the lightest and the most comfortable in their class. I never have any problems wearing them. I think the QC20, I've got the in-ear sound isolators, and you can actually sleep wearing them. You can lie down with the bud in your ear, and you can sleep quite comfortably wearing those things. So for long-haul flights, I find them absolutely perfect. And for day-to-day use, they're not the greatest sound quality. I will admit they have a very neutral sound, but I like that kind of neutral sound. Sennheiser also has a neutral sound.
Very
I
neutral
like
sounding
that kind of sound. But they are the most comfortable I found out of all the headphones out there.
What about longevity in terms of the leather itself that it has?
No, well, that's one of the nice things about them as well, because it's very easy to replace all of the parts. Malaysia's weather is very bad to the foam and everything. And their parts are very inexpensive as well. I've replaced the foam on cups for like $50 for a pair and that kind of thing. And the main supplier stores carry all the spare parts in stock as well, so you don't have to wait a long time. So I find their after sales service is very, very good. I've had the issue with other brands before where I've gone in with the headphones and, you know, the cups have started to fray a little bit, and they, you know, they leave that residue of black stuff around your face. And the assistant just goes, sorry, you have to buy some new ones. And you're like, well, these were really expensive. And yes, the Bose are really expensive, but I've had my first pair of noise cancellers from them for over 10 years.
So I see I love the Bose. I know it's comfortable. I know it works well. It's a neutral sounding headphones. You can use it for 10 hours, 15 hours. You'll never feel, you know, a discomfort in your ears. The Sony apparently does equally as good as the Bose, if and it does a better sound job than the Bose Quiet Comfort 35. I'm still torn. I've not played with the Sony, so let me know. Tweet me at BFM Radio. What would you prefer? Do you prefer the Sony 1000 series or do you prefer the Bose Quiet Comfort 35? These are the two models of the noise cancelling headphones that I'm looking to invest. It's about 1,200 ringgit. So it's a lot of money for me to invest into this. I'm not going to spend 1,200 and then decide, oh, I should have gotten for the other brand. So perhaps if you could help me, if you could tweet me and just let me know what you prefer and why I should buy the one that you prefer, I will probably make a decision by Christmas or hopefully by the, you know, by Chinese New Year, hopefully. Yeah.
And as I said, I am not endorsed by Bose, but I would like to be.
All right. We'll go for a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk about a feature that we completely did not talk about before. And it just happened over recently during our conversation that I just went like, hang on a minute, Matt, what did you just say? We'll find out in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. It is Geeks Walks. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Now, during the, I think yesterday, we were talking about, you know, what should we discuss about today's show, especially the earlier part, if you missed out, the things Matt Armitage has learned in 2017. You sent me a WhatsApp text, and it was a very well-crafted WhatsApp text, and I was reading it halfway through the paragraph before I realized, boop, the message has been deleted.
Yeah, this is my newest favorite thing.
I've not done this to anyone yet.
Oh, I do it all the time.
Really?
Yeah. I love deleting WhatsApp messages. Not deliberately to annoy people, but you know, you tend to write them very, very quickly.
Very quickly.
And you realize they're full of typos or whatever. So you can now just quickly delete them and it just pulls them out of the feed. So I mean, it can't stop. If you've already seen the message, it can't make you unsee it. But
it makes you question it, though. Like, why did you delete it? Because for me, so my behavior is that if there was a typo or like something that I said wrongly, I would retype it again with an asterisk at the end of the sentence and go like, that identifies I'm trying to rephrase or, you know, undo the typo error that I, you know, initially sent out in the first place. I will not delete the message.
But I hate that because I like stuff to be properly written. So if
no
I can
room
see,
for error then.
Well, there shouldn't be room for error when you're writing. That's the whole point of writing. If you write a message to someone that's wrong, it's a useless message.
No, but typo happens, right? That's why you
It does happen, but especially when you're in a group chat rather than rather than sending out lots of messages and making people, you know, because sometimes you read things and it's been typed so quickly it's just absolute gibberish and there's like three or four corrections to come. It's much easier if you can just retrieve these things and delete them. Even better if you can retrieve them before people have read them, but you know, it's nice to just be able to redress the balance.
Maybe the next feature WhatsApp will add in is that when you send a message into a group chat, it takes 3 minutes unless you do like an instant send. Then it just immediately will send out to the group. But if you do a normal send, it will wait for 3 minutes before it gets pushed out to the group itself, allowing you to, you know, tweak or do an editing or do like a minor adjustments. Because right now it gives you, it basically just allows you to delete the message up to 7 minutes after you've sent them. And if you do choose to delete it, you'll just have this box that says their message has been deleted in an italic form.
Yeah, but WhatsApp group chats are already really, really irritating. Yeah. Can you imagine how much worse they would be if you could put a 3 minute delay on your replies? It would just be like living in slow motion. It would be absolutely awful.
I
think you should stick to investing in cryptocurrencies. Leave the instant messaging apps alone.
All right. Let's talk about... Oh, we have a king of the crowd.
We do have a king of the crowd. I seem to have become this kind of guru of children on BFM.
Very surprisingly. That's the things that I've learned in 2017 about Matt Armitage.
Yeah, that's... you know, when I get called for comment, especially on the Evening Edition, it's usually for stuff related to kids. I find it very, very weird because I have none. Anyway,
I must have keyed in something about you loving kids in one of our database entries.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. Some search result somewhere. But I'm going to go with today on King of the Crowd. There's this thing called the U Fun Brush, and it's not a smart toothbrush. We've talked about toothbrush before.
There's no need for that.
It's a sonic toothbrush. Now, these have been around for a while, this kind of sonic technology. But what this is basically it looks a bit like the kind of gum shield that
boxers
wear.
Like those
whiteners. Yeah, like the whiteners or like a boxer wears, that kind of thing attached to a vibrating plate. Mm. It's useful because it means brushing your teeth only takes 10 seconds, which... You know, I have nieces and nephews. Mm. They don't like brushing their teeth. Mm. It takes too long. So this kind of thing that you can just... And it makes a mess. Mm. Yeah. So this kind of thing that you just put into your mouth for 10 seconds, it makes it a little bit more fun. Oh. They send it with a bunch of stickers so that you can put like animal mouths on the end of it. So it makes it a little bit more fun. They do it in all kinds of sizes, all the way up to adults. So it is for adults as well. Where I have my... concerns is that not many people are willing to spend $60 US, and this is the reduction price. These are actually going to ship at about $100 US eventually. Mm-hmm. Not many people are willing to spend that much on a kid's toothbrush.
You're right.
You can change the heads. They say the heads are good for about 6 months. So you know, this is another one of those. This is another one of those things that they should be shipping in February next year. So they are pretty much ready to go. So it is a product that I can see has a lot of commercial application, but I'm just wondering whether the price point is just too high for it to be useful for most families. But having said
that,
they've raised over $150,000 US so far. Mm. But I imagine a lot of that has gone to... young single guys who like the idea of having a cheetah face on the end of their toothbrush. Mm. I'm not sure how many of these are actually going to end up in the mouths of children.
Yeah, that's true. So, because you know, $60 for a kid's toothbrush—that is quite a lot.
Well, yeah, that's US dollars as well. I mean,
$60,
you know,
that's a lot of money for my toothbrush.
A $10 toothbrush every few months for your kid versus a $250 US dollar toothbrush that needs another. I don't know, $10 or $15 head every few months. Mm. I don't know whether that's a sustainable model, but
we'll see.
I guess. A fun thing.
Yeah. Anyways, we were going to do another story about autonomous vehicles. It's got this new sensor where it allows you to see things even though, you know, your vision is kind of blurred out despite of rain and fog and mist. But we're just running out of time.
So we're not going to talk about that story. So you're never going to know anything about cars with sensors.
Yeah, nothing at all. So we will just sit... We will dive into GeekTunes.
Yeah, this is from the latest album by Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, the former songwriter from Oasis. This combines a lot of my favorite things. There's a little bit of psychedelic, there's a little bit of glam in there, and some nice kind of folky overtones.
Noel Gallagher style.
Yeah, this is Holy Mountain.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.